Let's open our Bibles in the book of Hebrews tonight. Open your Bible down in the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and verse 11. Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 11. I love the book of Hebrews, because the first word tells me who wrote it. Amen. I've heard a lot of theologians argue about it. But the first word said God, and I'll just about hand it. Amen. Dr. Ruckman said it's a real blessing when you're not educated, you don't have three lines of thought. It's just either right or wrong. Amen? Amen. So he had a good education and all that. But sometimes that thing can be dangerous as a moron with 45 without a safety. Amen. In chapter 9, in verse 11, the Bible said, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. This Bible says that Jesus Christ became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. And there's a man in our city, Mr. Thien, and he has this week unleashed, it seems like, a series of messages against the blood of Christ. And since he has, and since he spent some 3 or 4 days on it, I'd like to answer. My dad always told me to never argue with an idiot, but I'm not arguing with him. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen? And he made this statement. My wife wrote it down. He said, I'm the first man in this century, the first man that ever come up with this idea. He's the first man ever come up with that idea. Amen? But Christ being come a high priest. Now, I'd like to speak to you tonight on the blood of Christ. And the reason the blood of Christ is very simple. God starts it in the Old Testament, and he has every type and picture, and God winds up in the New Testament and unveils and unravels and shows you what the blood of Christ is. Now, the Bible said that he was a high priest, and a high priest was a man who had to go in once a year for the sin of the atonement, the day of atonement, and make an offering, a blood offering, for the soul of man. Now, the purpose of the high priest was to minister for the people there. And the Bible said Jesus became our high priest. So if he became our high priest, just like the Old Testament high priest, then the Bible teaches us he went in there with his own blood. Amen. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood. Now, if you're like this other man in town who only has a Bible in his head and not one in his hand, you can make it say anything you want to. Now, you've had 11 years of Greek. My son-in-law was in the service this morning. I think he's had 35 years of Greek. He is a Greek. And that's the only thing I know about Greek, and that was enough. Amen. But the Bible said, but by his own blood, amen, own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. Now, the Bible does not speak of a partial salvation. It speaks of an eternal redemption. That's redemption means bought out of the slave markets of sin. And you and I have been bought out of the slave markets of sin by the blood of Jesus, never to be sold again in the slave market. Now, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling of the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? Now, I know if you're a Greek scholar and the Bible means this when it says that. I know all that. And I'm not arguing that tonight. I have no argument. This is my ruler right here. Now, I believe it's about 70 foot from this back of this wall to the back of that wall. But if you don't accept 12 inches as a ruler, we'll never measure how far it is. Amen? And the only ruler we've got is what you think. And what you say, we will never come to any agreement whatsoever. My agreement is I have the Word of God in my hand. Amen. That's my agreement. And so I believe that. And so in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must be a necessity of the death of the tester. Now, this man says that when he died, that was enough. But I'd like to ask you a question. Did the body of any animal in the Old Testament, ever suffice God? When they was down in the land of, in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and the children of Israel were told to go into their home, sacrifice a lamb, eat the fat, all of it. It was too big a lamb for their family, call another family in, but be sure and catch the blood and take it on the outside and put it over the doorpost. I mean, when the death angel come, and when God come through the land, what was God looking for, the lamb or the blood? Now, there's no argument tonight whatsoever. None whatsoever. The Bible is as clear as a picture. The Bible said here in verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now, the Bible says that Moses took the book, the five books of the Bible that Moses had, and the Bible said he sprinkled it with the blood. You said, why did you do that? Because God told him to, and ain't none of my business or yours either. And that's all there is to it. Leviticus 4 says, and it's so clear and so plain, and I mean, the whole book of Leviticus said you just take that blood seven times and sprinkle it up. What scares a woman more than anything in the world? Blood. Oh, and she faints. That means she don't like to deer hunt. I went deer hunting with Brother Rob, and he just killed everything in the past. The little ones, the big, bang, bang, bang! And I went over there, and blood was everywhere. If some of y'all been out, you'd have fainted. I walked up. Didn't bother me. Now, I have a problem. People call me in the middle of the night, and I go out, and two people can shot each other. I walk in, and I say, who's dead and who's alive? It don't bother me a bit in the world. Hey, really, that? I've been through so much of it, it doesn't bother me. But a baby can just fall from the table, and I'm a nervous wreck. I jump up and run out of the room. I just can't handle it. I just can't handle it. It's not the blood, it's the fall. I just can't handle it. I can't handle it. I mean, today, we had one fall today. Boy, that's gone. My wife said, that's just the way he is. That's right. That's the way I am. Amen. I just got some little old quirks, and the girls over here, all of our girls have been studying that. We went to bury this brother's dad here this week, and here they was going to go out and get some flowers. But I ain't carrying no flowers with no grave. They didn't send them to me. They sent them to him. I said, no. My wife said, I'm going to get some. I said, you ain't putting them in my car. I don't carry no doggy bag out of the store. No. My wife said, bring it back. I get up and say, you pay them, I'll leave. I don't like that. I don't like going out of there. Look like I got me a lunch in my hand. I don't like that. He said, you just made up funny. That's right, I am. That's right. And there's just some things I don't like. But the Bible said in verse 20, it's saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now, I just want to say this to you. The world rejects the blood because to them it's something they don't understand. God didn't ask you to understand this Bible. God asked you to believe it. And if you believe it, you can get saved. If you don't believe it, you'll die and go to hell. We're not singing when I see the water, it's when I see the blood. Not when I see church membership, but it's when I see the blood. And some of y'all got your church membership all right, but you ain't got the rest of it all right. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, you can believe what you want to. These people were all sprinkled with the blood. Now, that's a That just sounds horrible to me. I mean, you know, me just take a basin of blood and sprinkle it all on Brad's head and all over him and go ahead and sprinkle Bible. I just might and then sprinkle my Bible and get it all over my Bible. That's what God told Moses to do. You say, why did he tell Moses to do it? Because there was one coming. There was one coming who was going to shed his blood. His precious blood, his perfect blood, his sinless blood, that spotless blood. There was one coming. There was one coming who was going to satisfy the justice of God. And that all of this was a picture and a type of pointing forward to what the Son of God was going to do. The book was sprinkled, the people were sprinkled, and the blood of the Old Testament is a type. The Old Testament was dedicated to the blood. Amen? I mean, Moses come down off the mountain. He said everything was, there wasn't nothing dedicated without the blood. I mean, they never had a service without the blood. Amen? Nowadays, they don't even like to sing about the blood. A friend of mine this morning, he told me, he said, oh, I went down to the first so-and-so church here in town. You got three queers down there. One of them plays the organ, one plays the piano, and the other does the preaching. I mean, three tutti frutti's, all three of them. And he went down there to hear that wonderful music. He said, I just knew that this sang about the... I don't want to hear you sing about the resurrection, bless God. I like to see you resurrected, amen, amen. But the blood is a type in the Old Testament. When they put the blood on the mercy seat, when they put the blood on the sinner, when they put the blood on the priest, it was a covering. So next year. It was a covering until next year. So what they had was salvation by the year. That's what some of y'all got by the week. And sometimes this blood was put on there. Why? And it carried them over to the next time they came. But these animals, some of them were small. I'm glad that God didn't say everybody had to have an ox. Some people just had enough money to buy a pigeon. Some just had enough for a little bird. Some had enough just for a little dove. And he brought his little sacrifice now. It cost two mites and said, here it is. And here comes the rich man. And he comes and brought his ox and opened his ox. And here come a richer man driving a whole herd of sheep. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. And I'm going to tell you one thing. The man who had the spiral was just as safe as the man had the ox. Because it wasn't the animal. It was the blood. It was the blood. I thank God for that. I really do. And some animals were small, and like I say, but all these animals were clean. They were clean animals. No animal could be offered that was not clean. They were all inspected. They were all kept up for, like the lamb, for 14 days, and looked on and looked after and made sure that it wasn't sick. And when it was slain, every drop of blood was caught. Something strange in the Old Testament about the blood. I'm praying the New Testament back. I'd like to say something to you tonight. Every time you buy a carton of milk and every time you look in the newspaper nowadays, every time you look, you see there's a little child gone. Somebody stole the baby. I want to tell you tonight, every one of those babies been killed. God said their blood cried from the ground. Every baby that's aborted, its blood cried from the ground. You say what you please. Do what you want to. Believe what you want to. God walked up the chain and said, where is thy brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, his blood cries from the ground. And so, and that's the reason God told people in the Old Testament and everywhere else, if you're to judge the sin, and if you don't, it'd be a reproach to any nation. Amen, 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 amen. But the blood is a type. And then the blood does the talking. Blood talks. Now, you don't have any trouble walking over here and looking at these two guys right here on the end. They got the same blood in. You look at them, tell their brothers. You look at Bobby and Butch. So Butch is better looking than Bobby. If you tell their brothers. If you meet Joe West and Dale West, I'm telling you, when they were younger, you know it's true. Everybody got Joe West and Dale West mixed up. They were brothers, but they looked like twins. Now, their boys never got them mixed up, but the older men, we got them mixed up. What's wrong, Bishop? They had the same blood. Now, if the blood of the West family could do that to a man, how much more could the blood of Christ make you alive? The blood speaketh!
The Bible said, verify.
I like that.
I like that. The blood speaketh.
Verify.
That's it. That's it. I mean, boy, the blood ain't telling me about Mount Sinai. It's telling me about Mount Calvary.
It ain't telling me that. Shall not.
It says you can.
It don't say, don't do that.
He said, I'm going to help you not to do it.
And praise God, the blood.
The blood does some talking tonight.
Yes, it does. It speaks a better thing. And then, you know, that blood, it witnesses that we're children of God. That's what the Bible said. I was reading that thing over that day. And that blood just gives a witness that I'm a child of God. You said, Brother Wood, where is the blood of Christ? I don't care what Bob Freeman says. He can believe it run down in the ground and died and turned out. He can teach all that junk he wants to. But let me ask you a question. Who was Jesus Christ? Well, then how come they couldn't keep his body in the grave? How come?
They killed him, said, we got him. Put him in a tomb, hang him. Lock it up, seal it. Put a sheriff out here to watch him.
He got up and walked around and said, how y'all doing? Hey, this world don't like the supernatural. And some of these nuts, I know they're way out down in left field, but I'm telling you something, there was something supernatural about his finger. I don't believe he ever had a pimple on his face. You can believe as you please. I don't believe he had to go take any case for acne. I'm telling you, brother Bobby, he was the Son of God. That's what the Bible says.
There's so much arguing about. Somebody said, well, he got his blood from his father.
I don't care where he got his blood. It makes me a big difference. Well,
science
says you get your blood from your bones, doesn't it?
Well, where did he get his body from? He didn't get it from Mary. He got it from God the Father.
And if he got his body from God the Father,
then the blood that fucked in that came from God the Father. If the body couldn't die, how in the world could the blood die?
I'll tell you where that blood's at. I'll tell you where it's at. Over in the Old Testament, when guys had them killed an animal, they took that basin, they sprinkled that holy, and they took a step. Took another little step and he walked on in there. He was walking on that blood. He had no God to kill him. He got in there and he had two bases. One of them was full of the sweet smelling savor, all the frankincense. This one right here was full of blood. That great high priest, Brother Bobby, he stepped in the Holy of Holies and God the Father said, what you got? He said, I got the blood. He said, pour it on the mercy seat. He said, what you got in there? He said, a sweet smelling savor. He said, pour it on that. And he poured it on that and tiptoed back out of that. And when that high priest stepped outside, the world said, he's come back from the dead. And my high priest, he walked in there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out in the hall. He walked in there and had the blood in one. And the father said, what you got? He said, I got the blood right here. He said, what you got in that other bowl? Just like the high priest in Old Testament.
What's got in that other bowl?
He said, it's that sweet smell of savior. He said, it's my prayers, my sweat, and my tears over a lost and dying world. God the Father said, put him over my feet.
The prayers. I'm talking about the blood tonight. The blood of the Son of God. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Sorry, we don't have.
That blood speaks. It gives a witness that I am a child of God. And it speaks
and gives me assurance.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a taste of glory divine.
My God been washed in the blood. This blood's been tampered with. Modern has come along. This dumbbell we're talking about. I remember back in about 59 while I'm on. Somebody brought me a book written by Dr. Clark, who was one of the leading Southern Baptists in the seminary. And I mailed this book to Dr. Criswell. And they fired this man. He'd been teaching 15 years. Dr. Clark wrote a book on a man who has to be a fool to believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I'm going to tell you who he was. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, 19, and 20 says, that God, in verse 21, said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
I see why he died on Calvary, reconciling the world back into himself.
I'm talking about the blood.
And this blood has been tampered with.
And so what Dr. Clark did, Dr. Clark said, really, salvation is not on the cross. Salvation is in the resurrection. So he got a few scriptures talking about being justified by his resurrection, and he took that thing and perverted that thing, and that thing swept through the great Southern Baptist Convention. They were evangelistic, doing a great work for God, and they took salvation off of the cross and put it on the resurrection. I'm going to tell you something. You don't get saved at the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof that our high priest went in there and come out, and he's still alive. And the resurrection is the proof that he was the Son of God.
Yes! Yes, it's a proof. But it is not
where you get saved.
You get saved at the mercy seat
when you kneel at that blood.
You get salvation
where it belongs, and it belongs at Calvary.
Calvary is where it does. And Jesus paid it all,
and all to him we owe tonight. And nobody has the right to remove it.
Yes, sir.
Some said
you're saved in the resurrection.
Some said
you're saved in a baptismal pool.
I better get me a water hole and squirt all of y'all and get resaved. It can't put us blood.
My wife copied this down today, this week, and handed me that song y'all were singing, that's Power in the Blood. Dr. Bob Thien, you can get the tape if you want it. All you got to do is write out there. Get the tape. Said it's wonder working power.
Correct, Ms. Woods? Wonder working power.
He said there is no wonder working power in the blood. He said the word wonder is the word miracle. There ain't no such thing. Hey, man. Ain't no miracle. I am one. And I guarantee I'd stand 40 more in the future. I'd say, like, they am one. Oh, you believe in miracles? Yeah. Yeah, I just got through checking. I am one. Yeah, there is one. That's how you say it. Amen.
That people here been saved by the grace of God. Why God changed their life. God
is a miracle. Every time somebody's born into the family of God, it's a miracle. Modernists just tamper with this blood. He said, well, preacher, I don't know if it's a wonder or not. Is that right? You ever see anybody get a blood transfusion? You ever see somebody die? And they just start running blood into them. And their faces just start crushing. They'd open their eyes and say, well, what are y'all doing here? That blood somehow or another, the Bible says in that blood is life. Huh? Yeah. There's life in that blood. There's strength in that blood. I'm going to say something. You come and kneel before the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ speaks across your soul. It gives life, and it gives strength. I never will forget the morning I got saved 33 years ago. I said, you know, I'd go far, but I just don't believe in old dope things and old life. So I sat there a minute, and I said, well, you ain't doing very good what you are doing. You might as well be down that end on this end. Here I can. And you know, when I got out, I found out that Noah, when he built that ark, he didn't build two things on it, hang on. He said, get in. So I didn't grab a hold of the whole room.
I mean, the man said, the door's open, just come on in. So I just came on in. And you know what happened to me 35? I got in.
And God slammed the door. And the judgment hit on the outside ark,
not on the inside. Hallelujah. I like that. I know some of y'all got y'all a couple of pegs on the outside holding on. There's a lot of trees going to run into you in the mountainside and what have you. You see, the judgment is on the outside. Noah's ark was on the type of Christ.
All the judgment was on the outside. And old brother Noah said, let her rip. About that time, that elephant began to sway. He's trying to figure out how come that elephant sways like on the zoo. I told him, I said, anybody knows why it's supposed to come from Africa.
I can figure that out. But the blood has been tampered with. The modernists, the humanists. And now we've come down to the point of the educations. Oh, even some of the independent brethren. They got so educated.
You want to explain away that miracle working power of the blood.
And so, well, all they need to do is make a decision. You need to make a decision. The psalm says,
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed
in the blood? My soul.
Blood's been that.
But I want to say something about that blood. Yes. That blood is his transformer. You see, that blood satisfies God. You said, what kind of God is he? I don't know, but blood satisfies him. I know that. And I'm not really interested in it myself. Because two ducks or two buzzards or two whatever they offered over there doesn't make me a bit of it. All I want to know is, how do I get in? How do I get out of a problem? I mean, how do I get out of trouble? I mean, how do I get to heaven? How do I miss hell? How do I miss the wrath of God? How do I miss the judgment of God? I'm not interested in nothing else. I'm interested in how do I get saved. And here's what the Bible said. The Bible said we're made not by the blood of Christ. Oh, I said. Here's an old boy, long way from God. God takes him back out and gets him in the blood. And then over in 1 John 1, 9, he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. And all of a sudden, he begins to cleanse and begins to wash. And all of a sudden, that same person has fellowship with God.
That same person begins to follow God. That same person puts all faith in God and walks and talks with the Holy God.
How come he's been made nigh by the blood of Christ? Oh, my soul. Then we read in 1 John that he's not only made nigh, but he's cleansed by the blood. We get saved, we begin to walk through this old dirty world, deal with this corrupted world, but the Bible said we confess our sin. If we confess our sin. Why, the Bible said, little children, sin must. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And isn't it wonderful to know tonight that we are saved? We're capable of doing anything in the world, but when we do it, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God's eternal God, that precious blood. The Bible calls it the precious blood. The Bible, well, man, the Bible says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? The ungodly. The ungodly.
The ungodly!
And he makes us children of God. We're made nigh. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're cleansed by the blood. But look there in 9, verse 14. The Bible said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I don't care what you say. I don't care what Baptist says or nobody else says. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus that purge you from your dead works and put you to serving God. I know. All that we can, we just make a little decision, and we've decided, we're trying to decide not to serve God. But the Bible said, when you come to that fountain filled with blood, drawing from the man your veins, oh yes, it's in that blood.
God will purge your conscience.
I'm glad. When God saved me, he purged me from the guilt. I started to go to bed, and the devil would wake me up and flash some horrible scene in front of me that happened 40 years ago. And said, you remember that? I said, thank God, you dirty rascal, I know who you are,
I'm glad that God
purged me from that guilt. Ain't on my conscience. I'm telling you, the devil will drag things up. He'll hound you. Listen, he'll hunt you down. He'll follow you and tell you how wicked and foul and no good. But he'll never tell you how wonderful, that wonderful working power of God. Well, he'll even put up some idiot on the radio and pay $150 an hour to tell you that there's no wonder working power in the blood of Jesus. I'm glad to report to you tonight that there's wonder working power. I'm glad to hear the crowd I'm looking at tonight. If it wasn't, you'd be in a heap of trouble. You'd be in a heap of trouble. Why, my soul. Once this Bible said he purchased his church with his own blood. His own blood. My soul. I mean, that blood don't only secure us and cleanse us. Yes, God, it'll church us. And then the Bible says that we're redeemed by that blood. That precious blood, redeemed by that precious blood. Isn't that wonderful? Let me give you this last one to you. And this is one that I like, I guess, more than all of them. And that is triumphant, how. Triumphant how. They got over in that fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and they said, who is worthy to open these books? Somebody said, he. That's the Lamb. It was slave, and he's worthy. Don't tell him what he said. They hit him, and they strike him, and the blood run down his back. I'll guarantee you one thing, there wasn't one drop of that blood ever wasted. By his own blood. He said, preacher, that ain't three quarts of blood in there. How many of you think's in a bird? How many of you think's in a little pigeon? How many drops of blood do you think's in a little dove? He said, about a spoonful. I said, hey, sinner, in the Old Testament, bring that spoonful and put it right here on the altar, and that's going to be all right. I'll tell you one thing about it, a spoonful from a dove. And help a sinner, what can a bucket full from God do?
Yeah! Holy God! Talking about that blood tonight. That blood that has triumphant power.
My soul. I know you got your mind with you tonight. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. This Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, Prince of the kings of the earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My soul. Can you see some fallen woman on Congress Avenue trying to make her way to the temple in the Old Testament? And she's got her little bird that she's caught, Dan. She said, if I can just get this bird, if I can just get him to the priest, and if the priest can just offer this bird, he'll take care of it until next year. But one day, Dan, God, drove a stake home Calvary. That blood run down the hill. He died. He took that blood, walked into the Holy of Holies. He didn't only put it on the mercy seat, he became the mercy seat. You listen to me tonight? He became the mercy seat. He wasn't only made the atonement, he became the atonement. You listen to me tonight? He wasn't only made an offering, he became the offering. Yes, sir. And when I come tonight, he said, look up here, boy. His hands are still scarred tonight, Larry West. His feet are still scarred all over heaven. For 10 million years when we walk, we'll stand and look and say, the reason I got here is because the blood didn't run out of them hands. The blood didn't run out of them feet. The blood didn't run out of that hand. That's why I'm here tonight. And all through eternity, we'll sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God tonight for the blood. Thank God for the blood. That wonderful working power. All things said about Wednesday, Thursday, to go down to church and sing it. I want everybody to stand and do exactly what he said. Stand and sing. The power in the blood goes out. Power, wonder working in the blood. If you're here tonight unsaved, that's power in the blood. If you're here tonight and you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, maybe as a missionary, whatever God's called you to do, there's wonder working power in the blood. If the blood of a little sheep, can you hear me tonight? If a little blood of a little sheep, and a man took him and looked at that little sheep and cut his throat, and took the blood and put it on his doorpost, and got up and sang, and looked back across that river a year later, and I put the blood on the doorpost, and God delivered me from the land of God. We've been in bondage 470 years. And God has delivered me out of Egypt. And said, somebody said, how'd you get out? He said, well, I just took the blood of that land, like God said. And I put it over my doorpost. And children told their children. Mama told their mama. Daddy told their children. And it came on down to thousands of years later. And there was a hill far away. Stood an old red cross. An emblem of suffering pain. We've been telling our children there was a lamb that died to deliver you from evil. It wasn't a little lamb. It was a man. A man called Christ Jesus. He was the whole world. Thank God I know him tonight. It's all kind of thing. That's power. Power in that blood, brother Bobby. Hey, 390. Let me say this to you. I told this over and over in this church. And I met the man, my wife and I heard him speak. He said he just had to put a thousand. But every day he'd watch those vegetables go out there. And then Samuel, God told him. He's a half Jew and half Arab. He said, I watch them people go out there. He said, one morning, he said, my daddy told me, he said, don't you never go out there. They ain't nothing to that store. He said, one morning about 5 o'clock, he said, I sneaked out there as a boy and knelt down on that hill. They tell me that there was a man named Jesus crucified here some 2,000 years ago. And if you were the Son of God, if you did get up out of that tomb, would you please reveal it to this poor Arab boy that he might know him? He said that morning he came up now knowing that God had saved his soul. That man preached all over. My wife and I heard Dr. Samuel Doctorin preach right in this town. 25 years ago. He'd been in Africa then for 10 or 15 years preaching to the Muslim world. What are you saying, preacher? Well, the healer always put an old rugged cross. And that blood what makes the difference.